on Mondays to wrap up crunch time, live from Hot Mama's Kitchen and Bar at the Oakway Center, we like to do a little something we call this.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it.
It must be good.
So it's bad. How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
This would be the Richter scale. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
That was not a good voice. This is where I, Nick, bring up the big stories and events from the weekend. Steve and Alex, who are both here today, they tell me how big of an impact these events have. We begin with coaching kerfuffles that were the story of the weekend.
Kerfuffle.
After taking two timeouts against Ohio State, James Franklin went with a handoff on 4th and 5 that went for a loss of 2 while down 1 point to Ohio State. Penn State loses. Frank Wright goes for it on 4th and 4 against the Texans, who had no timeouts and 20 seconds left on the clock at the Colts' 43-yard line, giving the ball to Deshaun Watson and the Texans, gifting them the win simply because Reich doesn't like ties. How do you rate these coaching decisions?
Franklin's coaching decision wasn't so bad of a decision as it was a miscommunication. He wasn't on the same page with his quarterback. And in that circumstance, that's on the coach. He was like a politician after. He was spinning it around and around and around. It's like, dude, that's on you. That's is 10 the worst decision he could have made?
Yes.
Okay, that's a 10. That's not even close. Alex, what'd you think?
You're talking about Franklin or Reich?
We're starting with Franklin.
Franklin, yeah, that's the worst play call ever. Like, and he even had like a timeout to think. Didn't he have two timeouts?
Two timeouts.
Yeah, two timeouts to think about it too. Like, what are you thinking with that play call? Like Ohio State's not going to be like bringing pressure up the middle or something. So you're just going to like sneak like a 4-yard handoff up the middle. That's not how football works, dude. Ten. Okay, like if Reich's is a 10, then this like probably isn't as bad as Reich, so I'm going to say 9.5 and give a spoiler to the next one.
And by the way, the key here is for Franklin, okay, if it's 4th and 1, 4th and 2, and you think you have an advantageous matchup and they might not be looking for it, but a straight give, I don't know, is that actually a version of a dive on 4th and 5? Unless the guy's 11 feet tall and could hurdle like Franklin Jacobs. I mean, it's the stupidest call ever.
Yeah, you don't have Walter Payton you're handing the ball to, dude.
I guess we know where Alex stands on Frank Third Reich.
That's a 10.
First of all, you don't like ties, but you weren't going to lose. There was no chance you were going to lose the game. You basically said, I know, here's one possible way we could lose the game. Hold my beer. I'm going double tens. They're equally stupid. They invited losing. They were like, I know, this game is over. Done. We're both going to lose.
Notre Dame is looking pretty good. They've only given up more than 17 points once. It was to Wake Forest.
Really good.
They've now beaten two top 25 teams at home, and the only challenges they have remaining are at VaTech, neutral site game against Syracuse, then at USC to end the season. According to Sports Reference, the Golden Domers have the 4th-best SRS. It's like war for offensive and defensive ratings. I'll put into one. Behind Bama, LSU, and Georgia. How serious of a contender will Notre Dame be for a college football playoff spot?
10. They're a 10. They're playing fantastic football. I mean, so as good as anybody else other than Alabama, I guess I should say. And so that leaves 3 open slots in the playoff, and they're
Alabama has to play all 3 of those teams, too.
Yeah, I mean
the 2 of them at least.
They are clearly playing really, really good football right now. So right now, which is all we can really do in college football, like because projecting to the end of the season with college football teams and like 19-year-old kids is kind of silly. But right now, they're absolutely a 10. Why not?
The great state of New Jersey would rather abstain than say anything good about Notre Dame. No, seriously, did you? I don't know how much everybody got to see. They got KJ Costello 9 times.
Yeah.
Jerry Tillery, their defensive tackle, who's going to be a top 10 NFL pick, he got 4 himself. Stanford's best offensive player was their punter,
Oh no,
Bailey. I'm telling you, like Alex said, right now, they're number six. Every game is incredibly winnable. They're going to be favored in every one. They're in the picture. They're absolutely in the playoff picture. They're a 10. I could not agree more.
Watch. Mark my words, though. They're going to lose a game to, like, Northwestern or Syracuse this year. Like, that's going to be their loss.
They'll lose the Syracuse game because they're wearing those ridiculous Yankee uniforms, and that's going to be why.
There it is.
That's why.
That's it.
Let me list out some teams here. Miami, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Chicago. What do these teams have in common? They are all 3-1 and leading or tied for the division lead in the NFL.
Nope.
The past 5 to 7 years, these teams have been not that good or even gotten close to sniffing a division lead, yet a quarter of the way through the season are leading the pack. Which one of those many teams rates as the most threatening to actually win their division?
So you've got Miami. Did you mention the Bears?
Chicago is at the end, yes.
You've got, did you mention Jacksonville or Tennessee or Baltimore, Cincinnati?
Yep, those were all of them.
New Orleans?
Not New Orleans, because they're obviously the biggest.
Yeah, they're a legit contender. So you're saying which of those is the most legit to win their division that we usually think stinks?
Yes.
Okay, Miami has no chance. New England's winning that division.
100%.
Why I didn't cash in my 401k, steal money, and bet everything on them this weekend is embarrassing to anybody who's ever made a bet. We're all idiots. I think Cincinnati's legit, even though their defense is a little shaky. I don't trust Pittsburgh. I don't know about Baltimore. I think they also are. I think Cincinnati has a legitimate chance of winning the AFC North.
Yeah, I think that as well. I'd go with Jacksonville on this one, but I'm not 100% behind them so far this year. But the way the AFC North is playing, like if you have Pittsburgh playing like that, I'm sure as hell not going to pick Cleveland to win that division. So, right now it's Cincinnati or Baltimore, and so it's kind of got to be one of those until Pittsburgh kind of pulls their head out of their rear end. I'm actually with you on that one. I think the Bengals out of those teams because, like you said, Miami has no chance. New England does this. They play bad at the start of the season and then they figure it out. And I have zero trust in Miami as everyone else should as well.
Also,
real quick, I'd like to add in. You can't call Jacksonville a sleeper. They came a bad fourth quarter away from making the Super Bowl.
That's very true. Also, part of the Steelers getting their act together is Le'Veon Bell is planning to report during the Steelers bye week in week 7. So that's also pretty big news.
Clearly, yeah.
Last one, Steve, you actually led off this segment wanting to talk about it, so we're going to end the segment talking about it. Four games on Sunday held the balance of two divisions and two wild card spots in the balance. The Brewers took the NL Central on the road against the Cubs, and the NL West is being decided as we speak. These teams all played 162 games this season, as they always do, and 19 games against each other in the case of the Cubs and Brewers. The Cubs had an 11-8 advantage over Milwaukee. That didn't even give them home field in this play-in game. That was determined because of a coin flip that the Cubs happened to win. So how much sense does it have to have game 163 to decide the division when there are plenty of other tiebreakers baseball could use?
Once upon a time when you only got into the playoffs via a division or a wild card, but the fact they're both in, they had head-to-head. You know, I'm not adamant. If you said to me, are you a 10 with that? I'm like, no, if I had to make a choice, I would rather have the head-to-head determine the division and who goes to the wild card, have that extra day off, and get ready for the actual wild card.
I didn't understand the question.
How much sense does it make to have game 163?
I didn't understand the question. Let's just move forward and go to a break.
That's all.
Vinny Barbarino didn't understand the question.
That's it. Go to a break.
That might be my favorite answer that we've ever had in this segment. Well, I don't understand the question. Break time. We'll see you guys later.